Yes, hi, good morning. It's your editor that I'd like to speak to, please, but have you got his, what's his name, please?
Wait, just wait a minute.
Thank you.
His name is Hans Arne Odde.
How do you spell that, sir? Hans?
Yeah.
H-A-N-S?
Yes.
Yeah, and then?
O-D-D-E.
Okay. Is he available at the moment?
Wait a minute.
Thank you. Yes, hi, good morning. I'm trying to speak to Hans Odd, the editor.
I couldn't find him. He is in a meeting.
In a meeting?
Yes.
Oh, okay. When will he be free, do you know?
Can you call after 12, I think?
After 12? Yeah.
Yes.
You think, is that the earliest time, do you think?
I don't know.
Ah.
He had
Has he got a secretary?
I shall try.
Thank you.
Moment, please.
Thank you.
Hi, Natura.
Yes, hi, good morning. I was wondering when your editor, Hans Odd, will be...
At moment, please.
Thank you.
That's
Tom. Yes, hi, good morning. Are you Hans? The editor? Are you the editor?
I am one of the editors, yes.
Oh, one of the editors. My name is Farid El-Diwani, and you did a story on me last May about Heidi Schoen. And I had that article translated only 4 weeks ago. And, it's obviously calculated to give me a lot of trouble, especially as you've written that I've attempted to kill that girl's son, all her neighbours, and all the other stuff, which is all complete rubbish. And I wanted to speak to the editor who allowed this idiot of your reporter, Ingen Roren, to first of all believe that stuff, and secondly, you're ready to allow it to be printed because, you're trying to ruin me, basically, when you should have known that the girl who made those accusations has been in a mental hospital. So I want to... speak to your editor just to see how this was allowed to happen.
I have never spoken to you before, but I know you have been speaking to several other of the editors, and you also have been speaking to this reporter.
Yes, I spoke to her yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm, and
so I know you have been in touch with many of our people.
Yeah, that's right. Because what you've done is upside down, and. You knew, you should have known before what this girl was all about because you had reports in Norwegian that all her neighbours received. Now, she's been telling lies and trying to get me basically put in prison by making up, all sorts of rubbish that I've tried to rape her, I've tried to kill her, her neighbours, her son, her family. I've written 400 obscene letters, and thank God that the police now do not believe her. And in fact, the police can't even find her to speak to her. She's avoiding them. And I want to know how your story could possibly be printed. It is so... I know, you know, you have to try and get sexy stories and and all the rest of it to...
We don't have...
But, you know, I cannot understand when you knew beforehand the girl was in a unit, in a psychiatric unit, and all the problems that she's had, and yet you go and print this stuff, because I can, if it wasn't for the evidence I'd kept, if I didn't keep some of her letters, I only kept a few, the rest I threw away, but I kept a few, and thank God I did, because the police have read them, and they believe, well, they believe me prima facie, you know, they believe me until they speak to her again, but they can't get hold of her, because she's avoiding them. But I want to try and prosecute her after this, once I'm in the clear by the police, but I must first of all discover how you printed, you know, you come to print this story. I'm finding so many months later, because it was only 4 weeks ago that your particular article I had translated, and I'd never read before that I've attempted to kill her son, and I want to know on what day I've made this, threatened to kill her son. I want to know from you what day I made this threat, whether I made it in a letter, a phone call, whether she told her neighbours, whether she reported this threat to the police straight away. I want to know these facts, because...
I have no comment on that.
Yeah, that's right, because I'm not going to let this go, because that girl, like so many people in your country, ruins lives. You have 1 in 5 women still have abortions, terminations, and you could have checked out that with the hospital, with her doctor in the psychiatric unit, Dr. Brock. You could have checked these facts out, or you could have checked with the police. And when she tries to commit suicide with a little 2-year-old boy, after that man Johansson has left her, and that poor little boy, and left alone, she said her grandparents would have looked after him, and I write a letter telling her she's a bitch, just as she deserves, and then you turn it upside down and say that I've been terrorizing her for 13 years. And the letters you've got, those love letters she sent me, obviously disprove that I've not been terrorizing her for 13 years. So, you know, I need to speak to the person who allowed your reporter to print, and if necessary, I will, if I can, I will have your people in court.
Okay.
So, you know, who is the gentleman? Who is the editor? I understand your chief editor is Hans, a chap called Odd, Hans Odd, is it? Odder or something like that?
Yeah.
Is he, is he free at the moment?
No, he's not. He's at a meeting.
A meeting.
Yeah.
When the police have finished, once they can find Heidi to talk to, I will ring you again and ask you to give them a call so that you can get to the bottom of this story. But I bet you won't print anything, will you? I bet you won't print the truth, the fact that what her past really is and what she's done, will you? You just keep quiet.
We will try to print what is true, yes, for sure we will.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's nice to hear. Okay, well, what I will do, if you can talk to your editor, please, and tell him that I, once I've spoken to Tore Lienos and Sven Jensen in the Nedrijeku police, once they have interviewed Heidi, I will then be in touch with you, and you can ring the police so that you can have their conclusions.
Yeah. What are the names of those policemen?
Tore Lienos
Now, how do you spell that?
I don't know. I can't pronounce, but it's Toril and Sven Jensen, S-V-E-I-N Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N.
Yeah.
They are the Nedrjäger police, and in fact, the only reason I knew about them was because Ingen Rorén gave me their phone number.
Yeah.
And their phone number is 32-87-81-70.
Yeah.
But they will just, if you phone them now, they will just say, we have to speak to Heidi first.
Mm-hmm.
But she has been avoiding them for months. In fact, Ingen Rorén, sorry, Toril, she's usually there just on a Thursday and a Friday. She has not managed ever to speak to Heidi since this story broke 10 months ago. Not once. And she tells me every time I try and get in touch with her, her husband calls me to say they want to drop the case. Now, if I have been threatening everyone's lives, I've been writing 400 obscene letters, making filthy phone calls, and if, you know, my mother, you say my mother wanted to put me in a mental hospital, that I do obscene things in front of her and I make her watch, then that should be enough of a case, shouldn't it, to go to the courts and have me extradited and put in prison. And I think if that's all true, then she ought to go to court. Don't you? Don't you think so, if it's true?
Oh, well, I will not comment on that. All stories have at least two
sides to it. So but you knew her past. You knew she was sleeping with someone taking heroin.
I didn't.
No, but the editor did, because all those, I sent literally hundreds and hundreds of those Norwegian articles to everyone in Norway, hundreds of people, everyone under the sun, because I'm sick and tired of being accused of attempting to rape someone. I'd never do this. She's been raped. She was raped by a Bergen shopkeeper in the 80s, and she reported him to the police. She was beaten up by her boyfriend in 1990 because he discovered she was telling me about his heroin taking. And then she went to get revenge on me by telling the police, I've come to kidnap her son, kill everybody as usual, the usual lies that anyone could see through. And someone in your office anyway knew about her past. They had the whole picture and they said it was false. I've been making false accusations and coarse comments. None of it was false. I'm a lawyer, and so help me God, I would not tell a single lie. But the police understand why I've written those those letters to her neighbours, because what can I do? I spent hundreds of pounds on lawyers in Norway, and because of your legal system, they're not allowed to send me copies of the evidence. They can't send me photocopies, so I'm stuck.
What did you say your name is?
El Diwani. It's an Egyptian name.
Yeah, how do you...
El.
Yeah?
D-I-W. D, yeah, I-W,
yeah.
A-N-Y.
A?
N-Y. And the first name's Farid. F-A-R-I-D. And one other thing, have you got the name yet?
Yeah?
I spoke to the psychiatrist that the newspapers, Verdens gang, and I presume you're, well, I think it was just Verdens gang, they got in touch with a guy called Niels Rettersdahl, who's a psychiatrist in a hospital in Gaustad, and they told him nothing. He said to me, they told me nothing about you. I didn't know your case at all, because I'm supposed to be suffering from erotic paranoia. You know, I'm supposed to be obsessed with this girl, you know, sexually attracted all the time, and I can't forget about her. That's what your newspaper said, which is a very cheap way it's nonsense, of course, but it's a nice way to sell the newspapers, when in fact I belong to an association of lawyers for the defense of the unborn children. I don't like abortion. I don't like, I'm very anti-drugs, and, you know, it's been turned upside down against me. I don't suffer from erotic paranoia. You know, she wanted to marry me, for God's sake, if I became a Christian in 1990. She sent me Christian literature.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said to the police, I will even come over to sit with you. But they said no, they can deal with it themselves because they believe me.
Mm.
But we'll wait and see.
You'll wait and see and then you come back.
All right then, what's your name, by the way?
S-T-R-A-N-D, Strand.
Oh yeah, sorry. Mr. Strand.
Yep.
Okay, well, it's very kind of you to be patient enough to talk to me, because I'm afraid I did lose my temper yesterday evening. Well, I didn't lose my temper, except at the very end with Inga Warren, but the point...
She felt a little threatened by it.
Well, of course, you know, I said, you see, I told her that I would come along, even with the police, you know, because if I come along on my own with a friend, everyone, you know, starts to say I'm coming to beat them up. But this time, to avoid that, I will ask the police to come with me, because it's only when I do this and come along that, you know, your newspaper and reporters will stop printing this stuff that can actually ruin me and my career. And besides, it's 100% off the truth what you've printed, and that's why I keep in touch. But anyway, thanks for listening to me, and I will call again once the police have finished with Heidi.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye bye. Right, that conversation with Mr. Strand was made on Tuesday, the 26th of March, at 10 o'clock in the morning. And this is the end of this tape.
Yes, hello, good morning. Is Mr. Niels Rattersdahl at home?
Yes,
today,
yes, just a moment.
Thank you. Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Hi, I hope you speak some English. You do, good. My name's Farid El-Diwani. I'm the chap in England that you did a newspaper article on concerning Heidi Schoen. Do you remember, in May? There was a big newspaper article in Verdon's Gang, VG, it last May. Yeah, concerning Heidi Schoen. Heidi Schoen. You are the psychiatrist, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you did an article on erotic paranoia. Do you remember?
No, I'm not quite sure.
Well, I've got your photograph in the newspaper.
Yeah, but I wrote an article, but must have been some sort of interview or something.
Yeah, but you must have read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that I was rather... This is... What they've written in the newspapers is... It's all rubbish. And I just wanted to tell you, you know, the truth of the matter. Yeah. Now, did the newspapers show you those reports that I was sending to her neighbours, did they show you that?
No, I think I have been very, very...
Yeah, well...
Very there, just sort of a short interview or something.
Yeah, well, the thing is this, they have used you in a most despicable way, because this girl, she's been in a psychiatric unit herself in in Lear, and she, before I met her, she'd had two abortions. She tried to kill herself twice, and she was the reason I went to Norway in 1990 and got arrested is because I wanted to confront her, because she had been sleeping with a boy who was injecting heroin. Okay, and I had slept with her myself once, only to discover that, and she didn't tell me that she was sleeping with someone else and he was taking heroin. So I went there to Norway to confront her about the heroin aspect, and I was sitting in her sister's flat upstairs, and the police came to arrest me. Now, she has told them that I wanted to kidnap her son, but I've read in the newspapers, I just had them translated yesterday, and I see she's said that I threatened to kill her son, that I threatened to kill her, her family, that I've sent 400 obscene letters. I've done none of this at all. I have not sent one obscene letter. I'm a lawyer, and I would never expose myself to this shame. And in fact, the newspapers have said that she has destroyed all the letters. Now, I've kept some of her early letters, and I sent them all to the newspapers with a long report, and they printed nothing. And I've spoken to the policeman in Mundalen, and he understands my position. And he's going to... he said he'd come back to me after he'd spoken to her. But, you know, this... She had... Her problems come from the fact that she was abused as a child from her grandfather, by her stepmother's father, you know, sexually abused. Her parents wanted to put her in a home for delinquent children, and that's why she's tried to get me back by saying my mother wanted to put me in a psychiatric unit, which is absolute nonsense. And, you know, it's just so much nonsense that I have to tell you this. Because I thought that you were interviewed and given all the information.
General remarks, I think, of
Yeah, I thought so, yeah. Because I was
nothing else. I didn't know anything about the case.
Yeah, I mean, I was... And she's pictured in the newspapers reading a book on AIDS. Right. Now, this book, she became a Christian, and this chap, Runar Schoen, her husband, is some kind of Christian, because he speaks in tongues. He speaks in the way of an exorcist.
Yeah.
You know, in some very strange language that I've never heard before. And he spoke to me on the phone saying, Allah doesn't exist, come to Jesus, and then, you know, some strange language for 5 minutes.
Are you in England now?
Yes, I'm in England. I'm at home now, but... I've got to do something about this, and I'm planning, you know, something. I can't tell you what at the moment, because I have to keep it quiet. But, you know, this is just 180 degrees off the truth.
Yeah.
And the thing is this, in 1986, the thing that upset her most is that in 1986, she phoned me up from Norway, wanting me and my best friend, who's a karate expert, to come and beat her boyfriend, Goodman Johansson, up, because he just told her to F off. And she was crying hysterically over the phone, wanting revenge, wanting us to take him to the woods to tie him up. And, please come over, she was saying, I'll get half the airfare. But the next morning, she rings me up, changes her mind, saying I'm enjoying her pain. Now, she's alleged to the police that I've attempted to rape her in 1986, and not just me, but there was a Bergen shopkeeper as well that she's said wanted or did rape her, and she reported him to the police.
And when I only discovered this allegation of attempted rape when I was using the lawyer Wessenberg in Bergen last year. And I was so angry, that is the reason I wrote those postcards and letters to her. Because, you know, the lawyers would not... I used these lawyers, Wessenberg, and I said, please supply me with the evidence of attempted rape. Please get copies of my letters that are with the police. And he said that the Norwegian law doesn't allow it. Now, in England, we can get evidence that's presented against us. But for some reason, he wouldn't supply the information and refused to have any dealings with me because he was annoyed that I'm sending Heidi's past to all those people. But the reason I was doing that is because there is no other way to get my point across. Legally, I can do nothing. I mean, do you understand my motives? You know, when I read, you know, all this about erotic paranoia, I just couldn't believe it, because I pride myself on being as decent as I can. And in fact, it's Heidi. You know, the real reason, one of the major reasons for her problems is that this first boyfriend who was taking heroin, he got her pregnant with twins. She was having twins, and then he slept with her best friend. She found out, miscarried, and tried to commit suicide. And then, 9 months later, or a year later, she got pregnant to him again. And that is the 9-year-old boy, Daniel. But he likes me very much. And she even wanted to marry me if I become a Christian. She sent me a book about a Pakistani woman whose husband had treated her very badly, and she became a Christian, and she wanted me to become Christian. So what the newspapers have said is so shameful. So I just wanted you to understand this.
Yes. But you can be sure that I didn't know anything about the case.
Yeah.
The comments from
I thought
quite generally.
That's right, I thought so, because I couldn't believe that you would, you know, basically put your reputation on the line. Yeah, have they got, I mean, they didn't even interview her psychiatrist, Dr. Brock, a chap called Dr. Brock in that's right, they didn't interview him, and I phoned him up and I said to him, I know he's not supposed to discuss the case, but I didn't know who else to turn to. I said, look, did she tell you about in the consultation with you that I had attempted to rape her? And he said, no. He said, no, I can't remember, but even if she did, I don't know whether it's true. Even the first times I met her, in 1980, she said she went on holiday to Greece and some Greek holidaymakers wanted to rape her at knife point. And she's always going on about, you know, how everybody's attracted to her and wants to have sex with her. But anyway, I've said enough, and...
Yes.
You know, the newspapers haven't got back to you at all, I suppose, have they?
Well,
yeah.
That's so.
And they won't speak to me, you know, that I put them my point of view, and I said, could you please print my side of the story, and they've done nothing.
Well, that's quite ordinary, I think, for a newspaper.
But it just seems so far from the truth that...
they write it from their angle, you know.
Sex sells. Well, okay, sir. I'm very grateful for you listening to me, and I just can rest easy now that you know my side of the story. All right. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Is that Mr. Rettersdahl?
Yes.
Yes. Hi. It's Farid El Diwani here.
Yes, yes.
Again, I'm sorry to trouble you at home again, but did you get my material?
Yes, all your papers, yes.
Have you managed to read through it yet?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, have you, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but have you, you know, changed your, or got an understanding of my motives?
Yes, but I have not had any special opinion about it before, you know.
Mm.
Because what I said was on a very general level, without knowing anything about your case, actually.
But why can you... Why can you, without knowing really about me, why can you, you know, make these... I know they were general statements, but why?
I made no statements about you.
Mm.
And you did.
What did they actually say to you then, the newspapers? What?
About these, the general.
I mean, what scenario did they put to you? What was the picture that they gave you about me? I mean,
I don't think they gave me very much picture about you, actually, because I told them that I couldn't say anything about your case. It was more to answer on a general level.
Oh, they must have said, you know, he's...
No, I think they I think it stands there also that you, some doctors in Bergen had the opinion that you had such a... an erotic paranoia or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you think, having read the stuff that I sent you, that, I mean, I'm suffering from... I mean, I don't want you...
I don't think so.
Yeah. It's just that, obviously, I know you probably have seen a lot of patients and you have to deal, you know, you have to deal with them smartly and kindly, but I honestly, you know, wanted to, you know, because it was such a shock to read all this about
yes.
attempting to kill everybody and
yes.
and all the rest of it.
Newspapers are always at least some of them are.
Well, it was all of them this time, wasn't it? It was the three biggest newspapers.
Sort of like Daily Mirror or something.
Yeah, but Bergen Tidende.
Yes, that is a rather serious one.
Yeah, I mean they. I mean, you were writing, or they wrote a lot about how bad Muslims were and Muslims suffering from erotic paranoia, and that bearing in mind what Heidi has, the number of affairs she's had, and. It's rather hypocritical of the press to write that, you know, it could have, if the Sun newspaper had got hold of that, then, you know, God knows what, I'd have to, you know, go to the moon or something, and they still can, you know, they still might somehow get hold of this stuff, and for your information, you know, the police... Heidi has not spoken to the police in her town, Mundalen, once. They have tried to get in touch with her, to confront her, and she refuses to go and see them.
Yeah.
And her husband says, we just want to drop the case. But they are going to go and see her.
Yeah.
I don't suppose you're going to ring the newspapers and tell them off, are you?
No, I don't think this is a rather old history, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's still the.
I think the best for you would be to drop it.
To drop it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it still hurts, you know.
Hmm?
It hurts very much
it
to.
It hurts, but I think it hurts more to take the old it.
Yeah, mentally.
And go through it all, everything.
Yeah.
It's very hurting, I think.
I mean, did you speak to Dr. Brock at all, or...?
To Dr.
Brock. Did you speak to her psychiatrist?
No.
You didn't, I mean, do you think she's,
Just gone through your papers.
Is she suffering? I mean, do you think she is just a wicked girl, or is she suffering from something? Yeah. All right. Well, I'm bad.
I think you.
Yeah.
Because it makes all this a lot of trouble when you, if you start up against such a case.
Well, it. I mean, forgetting about it would.
That's of course impossible.
Forgetting about it is particularly as she could have ruined me by those allegations is a bit much. That's why people go to court to prosecute people for perverting the course of justice. It's something that's hard to accept, and
yeah.
I felt she had to be taught a lesson, but I know she's learned some kind of lesson because all her neighbours know about her past through those letters I sent them. But okay, well, I'll leave it at that, and thanks for talking to me anyway.
I wish you every happiness.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Hi, good morning. It's Mr. El Dewani here. For Mr. Jensen, please.
Yes,
thank you.
Sutter?
Hi, good morning. It's Mr. Jensen.
Oh, hello.
Thank you.
Yes.
Is that Toril?
Yes.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were away till Thursday. Oh, did you have any luck last week?
No.
Oh, no.
I tried
to use her, but
there was
is she on the tele... Do you have her phone number?
Yes, I have.
Because, is it still 872121?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's changed. It used to be, but
yes, but I have changed it,
because of me, yeah. Every time, you see, the last time I spoke to her, it took me 6 telephone calls in a row. You know, I picked the phone up, you know, and I said, the first words I said to her were attempted rape. This was a long time ago. And then she puts the phone down, so I ring again, and several months ago, before Christmas, it took me 6 calls, and she kept putting the phone down. I said, look, I want to talk to you about these allegations. And then she said, I can't say anything because it will ruin my case. And I said, what do you mean your case? You have no case. You know, and then she put the phone down again. And the last thing I called her was a racist pig, because the things the newspaper said about Muslims suffering from erotic paranoia. So that was the last time I talked to her, but also they said her lawyer wrote to me once, just to say that her letters have been diverted and my own letters will not be sent on to her. So does that mean that you are the police receiving, did you receive letters that I wrote to her?
Opened it, so she hadn't read everyone.
But did you read them?
I have read them, yes.
Yeah, and if you read them already?
I have read them now, yes.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with them, is there? I mean, what do you think of them?
What? You see, I don't know the background for you to write this, but it's right. That's your writing. I don't know.
You've got my very long report in English, haven't you?
Yeah.
And her letters.
Yeah.
So that's the background, that's all I have.
Yes, I know. but that's your side of the case.
Yeah.
And I haven't talked to her.
No, that's right, okay.
So I have to talk to her before I make a...
Yeah. I mean, do you think she's avoiding you? Or is she... I mean, what's happening?
I think so, yes.
You know, one of the things she says to me, I phone her up and I want to talk about, you know, these allegations, and she says to me, you want me to come to England to have sex with you, don't you? You want me to come to England to marry you, don't you? And then I said to her, are you still very attractive? And she says, oh yes, I am. You know, and that's her thing. She keeps talking about the sexual thing, and that's why she gave all that to the newspapers to allege that I'm suffering from erotic paranoia and I'm some kind of pervert who's been built up to be a devil. But I tell you something, I can come over to Norway to sit with you and her if you like.
I don't think so.
No?
I want to talk with her alone.
Yeah.
That's the problem, you see, because she takes her husband with her every time she comes.
Yeah, that's right, and he will no doubt tell her, I don't know, do you think he will tell her not to say things? And
I don't know, but I would think it's not so easy to talk to me when he's listening.
Yeah, because of, yeah.
Because maybe you shouldn't tell him everything, I don't think so.
Oh no, that's why, I mean, when the newspapers say she got rid of all her letters, you know, those 400 obscene letters, none of them were obscene. I might have called her a bitch, you know, for sleeping with someone's taking heroin. But she would not want him to see those letters because it reveals her past. And the only reason I sent her postcards, I said in 1980, I think, if I remember, I put 1986, you sleep with someone taking heroin and report me to the police. 1988, you ask me to come over to beat your boyfriend up. 1990, you report me to the police. That's what my postcards were saying. Have you got any of those?
No, but I haven't seen
them. Yeah. You see, the ones, the important ones, she destroys. It's only maybe the odd one or two that, you know, that she thinks aren't that bad that she gives to you. And I don't suppose you've got any of the nice letters I wrote.
The list I got.
Yeah.
The letter you have write for a year ago, I
yeah.
Think. Not longer back in that.
Yeah.
So...
a year ago, what?
That's no nice letter, I think.
Yeah, what did it... I don't suppose you can... You remember what it said, did it?
Not everything.
No.
But...
called her,
I want to talk to Heidi, and when I have done that, I can see what she want to do. I don't think she want to try the case for the court. No, I don't think so.
Well, I don't mind if she does.
No, but I don't think she wants to do that anymore.
And why do you think that is?
Maybe she don't have a case.
Yeah. I mean, surely threatening to kill her son and her neighbours, and 400 obscene letters should give her a case, shouldn't it?
Yes, but I don't think she has a case any though. So, I want to talk to her.
Yeah.
When I've done that, we can talk again.
Yeah, when I don't, well, I suppose it's an unknown answer, but...
I interrupt this whole Thursday, and then I would try to get her, and when I have talked to her, for, maybe a week from Thursday,
yeah.
I
mean, after you've talked to her, can I? You see, if I come over,
I don't think you have to do that. Not for me. I believe that what you're saying.
I'd like, you see, she has never sat down with me and been confronted by me. I can chap her. I know everything about her from the day one, and I can convince you. Because I know, I've lost my temper with her, but there's certain things that I've never done. And, I mean, the guy she was sleeping with was a heroin, and this burns me up, because it destroys me.
Okay.
You know, so, all right then.
That's her problem, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can you not phone her and go round and say...
I will try to get to her again, but I haven't get her.
Yeah.
But I hope it will be Friday, maybe in the beginning or next week before...
Easter.
Yes.
Do you have a taped conversation? She said she taped something, but I admitted things.
No.
No. Because I didn't admit anything. But she said that she gave this to the police in the newspaper.
But it's very important to me to talk to Heidi before I do anything.
Yeah, sure. Sure, but I know it's, you know, you may be thinking, you don't know me and you're a policewoman, you have to be suspicious, but my report is 100% true. But be careful of her, because she's very good at lying.
Okay.
All right, Toro.
Remember that.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.